You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show is about to start in 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
He'll be fine on the mountain.
It's time for Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Built by the Barnuminium Company, served by Chicken Cock Whiskey, and part of the Chief Sports Network.
Touchdown, Carolina! Touchdown, Ace Sanders! Pressure, and he just dives in!
Sherbert, Phil Molinax, and Jamie Bradford.
All right, greetings and good morning. Welcome aboard and welcome home. Inside the Gamecocks, the show live from the Signorama Studios. They are the preferred sign partner of your national champion, South Carolina Gamecocks. If you happen to be in the gym yesterday celebrating with Dawn Staley and her program for winning their third title, you probably noticed, you know, that big old Colonial Life Arena sign that sits on top of the building when you walk up. Yep, that's them. They do everything. Everything that you see in there is Signorama, signorama.com. Served by Chicken Cock Bourbon and, of course, built by the Barndo Co., the barndominiumco.com, where you can build your dream home for as low as $160 per square foot in the Carolinas, in Georgia, or in Tennessee. Phil Molinax, or Mad Dog, as many of you know him, me, JB, JC will be along in just a few moments. We'll be joined today by both Brad Muller, who's getting another ring as the voice of the Gamecocks. We'll see where he's going to put this one. And Hale McGranahan will give us a Gamecock football report as well. Last night, UConn, once again, double digits. They win. Not much of a game, to be honest with you. And I fell asleep. So I had to get up this morning and kind of look back through all of it. 9:20 tip time on a Monday night. Well done, college basketball. But it was the Huskies, as many expected, that they would be victorious, and they were. Zach Edey had a phenomenal game. The problem is that the rest of the team only scored like 23 points or something, and that's not going to win basketball games. So UConn goes on to win. We'll talk plenty about that today. I mentioned Carolina football. We'll get into a lot of that. South Carolina baseball is the border battle in Charlotte with the Tar Heels tonight. Big opportunity to pick up a big midweek win. They did it last year against North Carolina. Can they do it again before they head down to Gainesville this weekend to take on somehow, some way, still the top 25 Florida Gators after being swept up at Missouri? With all that said, I'll lead off here quickly, Phil, with some news that was in my inbox about 10 minutes ago or so. The third game between Clemson and South Carolina's baseball programs that was scheduled to be played back on March the 1st, as we anticipated it would be, and as I was told it would be, will not be made up. Or I was told it would not be made up, not that it would be. So if you had tickets, the ticket information, according to the university here, ticket exchanges will be honored for a future Carolina baseball game. Fans can email gctix@mailbox.sc.edu, T-I-X, gctix@mailbox.sc.edu for more information. So you'll be able to use that ticket in another Gamecock baseball game from the university. The reason for that, by the way, is you've got midweek games, of course, that overlap the entire season. And then Clemson's got a not blaming Clemson by any stretch of the imagination, but they also have a week where they don't have a midweek game, but they've got a school policy that they can't play any because they've got exams ongoing. And that was kind of really the only time it would fit based on both program schedules this season. So due to that, they'll not be able to make up the third game, which is unfortunate, and there won't be a Clemson-South Carolina baseball game played at Founders Park this year. With all that said, good morning, Mad Dog.
Good morning. Yeah, well, at least you had the opportunity to play in Columbia, and the neutral site game was not in Greenville. Yeah, Segra Park. So you had that at Segra and still dropped that one. but that's okay. I mean, you know, I kind of figured with the way the schedule was lined up, that one may end up just going by the wayside. So play your way into the postseason and see if we can't meet them there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they'll get there. And right now they're on track to get there as a 2-seed. Gamecocks, of course, would love to host, and they can go a long way in doing so with 4 top 25 opponent or games this week to be played between the Tar Heels and the Gators. The records were shattered, and I mean shattered, by South Carolina and Iowa in the national championship game at 3:00 on Sunday. You probably have all seen it. It just goes worth repeating over and over and over again. And the Nielsen ratings are not out. And when those come, it'll probably bump them higher. I'm sure that it will, the way that Nielsen does theirs. But according to ESPN PR, 24 million was the peak viewership of the Gamecocks 87-75 victory over the Hawkeyes on Sunday afternoon. 18.7 million was the average, up 89% from last year. And then from the 22 game, up 285%. It is the most watched basketball game since 2019. Basketball game. And the NBA. And this third title under Dawn Staley, that game itself, the 18.7 million average, the most watched sporting event since 2019 outside of football or the Olympics. Wow. I mean, I think that yesterday I had heard some numbers around 20 million. I think we all thought, I don't know, we were all wrong. This thing blew the doors off of it for a lot of reasons. Caitlin Clark, clearly the headliner, Phil, but at the same time, you know, South Carolina going for an undefeated season. This is a story. It's a story. I mean, these ladies are good. And you put all that together in a championship game, it's exactly what the NCAA would have wanted. The best team versus the best player to ever play the game in a championship game. It just doesn't get any better than that. I don't think that if LSU and Iowa met in the national championship, the numbers would have been better than this. I really don't. So congratulations to women's basketball, college basketball, Dawn Staley and this team. Congratulations to Caitlin Clark in Iowa. And I mean, the growth of the game, it's not always going to be like that, right, Phil?
Right.
But
yeah.
But they have attracted new viewers. And if you keep a percentage, you continue to grow. And wow, what a Final Four for the ladies. Crazy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, and you got to give Caitlin Clark her due for that number. I think she's definitely responsible for it. But I think on the other side of that, ESPN has done as best a job as they could have in promoting some of the other players around the sport, kind of getting ahead of the fact that, you know, Clark is gone this year and they want to continue to maintain the popularity from a business standpoint and have all these eyes watch these tournaments next year as well. And I think they did a good job in being that steward for the game. You know, just looking at it from outside the Gamecock sphere. But yeah, I mean, my goodness, you think about that. That's one out of every 12 homes that you pass had it on their TV. Yeah.
That's a great way to say it.
Yeah. It's roughly about one out of every 12 to 13 homes was watching that game, which is just completely mind boggling when you think about it, to be able to reach those kind of numbers. It'll be interesting to see what it does for next year. But like I said, I mean, you already know some of these players coming into it. And I mean, we all know the Gamecocks, but outside of that, you got Juju Watkins making a name for herself, had NIL deals on the national scene and was in, you know, commercials and things like that. So there's going to be plenty of stories and narratives heading into 2024-25 that I think will continue to maintain, you know, interest and some high viewership.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you've got star power now, and you've got also emerging star power, which is going to be here for a while. It's not like somebody said this not long ago, and I think it's a very fair assessment in on the men's side of things. Not that you don't have fantastic young players, of course you do, but a lot of the freshmen, you know, those the blue bloods that play a year in college basketball and then they're off to the NBA. Not that Zach Edey isn't can you name, right? They just played last night in the national championship game. Name one player who started for UConn.
What's his name? Klingon, the other big man.
Okay. What's his first name? Right.
Yeah. No. Well, okay, 32. Gotcha.
Yeah. Which, by the way, hats off to UConn for having such a team atmosphere. It's just incredible. But,
right.
You know, on the men's side, you get these star-studded players that come in, they play a year, and then they're off to the NBA. And they're littered all over the NBA. Congratulations to them. That's the system, and they're doing their thing, and that's fine. I'm not a huge fan of it, but I get it, and that's it's all good, man. It's all good. But on the ladies' side, they're here. They're there. It's like the old days with college football or college baseball or college basketball or whatever. You get a chance to watch them play for 2, 3, 4 years. Not that there aren't transfers. There are, obviously. Yeah. I get that. But the large majority of the stars, they've been around a while. And you get used to them, and they become villains or they become superstars. Caitlin Clark was there. I mean, she built this. Like, she didn't just go play for 1 year. Like, she had a chance to set every record in the history of the game, and she did it because she was there for so long. If she wasn't there but just a year, we wouldn't have had any of those storylines coming into the tournament and into the Final Four. And you're going to get the same thing, not the same thing, being able to break those type records, but think about Dawn Staley's team. She just kind of revamped this thing, and Malaysia Fulwiley is becoming a household name. I mean, she opened the season with a behind-the-back, like, hook and ladder into the hoop against Notre Dame over in Paris, I think.
Yep.
So she's kind of, you know, that day, I mean, you heard the Magic Johnsons and the LeBron James and all these people tweeting about Malaysia Fulwiley, and here she is playing in the national championship game. Tessa Johnson, I mentioned Ashlyn Watkins is a, and these are more familiar to us, but they will be on the national stage much more now that they've just played on it and won the title, and they're young players, freshmen and sophomores. And you've got a similar situation out at Southern Cal. I mean, you've got these situations around the country now where really good players are able to play for 3 or 4 years in women's basketball, and that's kind of holding the line for that tradition of college athletics. And that's only going to continue to drive all these ratings up. So congratulations to the sport. I want to say they've done it. I don't know if they've, quote, done it, but they sure have done it better than they've ever done it before.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and that, I think, is one thing that's missing from the men's game is you know, some of those – it's what facilitates mid-majors making runs when you look at it. Older teams do better in tournament settings. The data are there. You can't deny it. And you know, I think there are certain aspects of the women's game just in the way that they function as teams that it's a better product when it comes to certain games. Like when you've got two solidly talented teams playing together as teams, I'd rather watch that than, you know, some of this one and done mess, you know, that I'd rather watch that than, you know, Calipari's Kentucky basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And I hopefully think Cal learns his lesson when he goes down to Arkansas. I think it'd be a different coach, Cal, but that's a completely different subject. So,
yeah.
But I mean, it's just, it was fun. Like that game, I had a more enjoyable time watching the women's Final Four than I did the men's this year, just due to that simple fact. And that, you know, it was like you've got these teams put together, and not just like one or two superstars, you know, taking every shot.
Well, congratulations to the women. Just really an incredible story. And they will continue to celebrate 2 o'clock this Sunday. The parade, announced by Mayor Daniel Rickman, will be coming through downtown Columbia. So if you're going to be out there, enjoy the weather. Will be beautiful once again this weekend. UConn is now the blue blood of college basketball. Not much you can do to deny that. Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, they've all taken a back seat to the Huskies. We'll talk about it and much more when we return right here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's gotta be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you
come. I'm a beggar. Who could use some help? I'm a seeker, searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone, just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover, wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We'll be right back.
11:22. Welcome back inside the Gamecocks. The show, Palm Casual, has got my back porch looking sweet. I've got two TVs and a bunch of awesome furniture that I can fall asleep on and not wake up and my back hurt. PalmCasual.com. They're in Myrtle Beach. They're in Bluffton. They're in Somerville. They're in Mount Pleasant. They got the best stuff. They make it themselves, and they give you a 30-day money-back guarantee, and it's not one of those piece of junk ones where you buy it, and then they come in and go, well, you sat on it, right? Yeah, so you can't. No. They tell you you can have 29 straight parties, and on the 30th day, you can return it. That's what I've been told. The owner told me that. So if you go to Palm Casual, they'll tell you the same thing. PalmCasual.com, presenting Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Schubert is back. He was probably able to stay up because it was only an 8:20 tip time for him. I was asleep by 9:50. But JC, I just don't think that it, I'm not so sure there's much debate here. I mean, we talk about the blue bloods of college basketball all the time. UConn's above all of them. Since 2010, they've got four titles. Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, and Kentucky have a total of five. So argue the numbers all anybody wants to argue them, but UConn has put themselves up at the top, and they deserve to be there.
How about the Big East Conference too? Four out of the last however many national championships with Villanova, and now UConn. I agree with you. I think they're as blue blood can get. They kind of hit a. They did a Nebraska football, right? Because when they joined the American or got left in the American because of football, it took some of the luster off of it. And of course, Jim Calhoun retiring. Any time an all-time great leaves, you're going to have some transition that takes place. He was kind of their goat, you know, kind of built the program, won their first national championships and all that. But they're back, and getting back into the Big East, I think, was huge. I think it helps them recruit at the level that they are accustomed to. They're not one and done city, you know. They kind of like Villanova was under Jay Wright. They'd get sort of the top 50-ish area guys that are probably going to stay in college for more than one or two years, and then they'll get transfers just like everybody else. And then they rebuilt the roster this year from a very good team last year that won the national championship. I thought we ended up in the tournament, guys, with the two best teams. I just think UConn is that much better than Purdue.
I agree.
At this point, and Purdue Pete is terrifying, and I just would not have wanted to see his face. I think I texted you guys a extreme close up of Purdue Pete last night.
Yeah, I didn't even see it.
I know you fell asleep. I fell asleep second half after UConn started on a run. I was laying in bed and I just dissolved out and got up to see the final. But yeah, hats off to Danny Hurley. Sometimes the better player when you're talking about the brothers isn't the better coach. And Bobby certainly isn't Danny. Bobby is a good coach, I think, but Danny Hurley is a next level guy. And just his drive and, boy, the way he coaches, the intensity. I didn't know this when he was at Rhode Island. I didn't know. And I didn't notice it that much last year. This year, the old term coaching your ass off, he's been coaching his ass off. Yeah. And I don't know if – I mean, he announced – or there's some kind of announcement he's not going to consider the Kentucky job. And yeah. I don't know that I blame him. UConn's in good shape. It's a lot less pressure than Kentucky.
He's got his formula up there now, JC. It works.
Yeah, I think the women's program helps you there because if you have a down year in men's, the women's are usually really good, and those fans support both. I mean, they have standards. You can't start going back to the NIT or whatever that new tournament is. I mean, you got to continue to – rock and roll, but I wouldn't leave. I mean, I'd stay right. He's a Northeastern guy, you know. But yeah, hats off to the Big East and hats off to UConn. I think they were the best team start to finish this season. I wish I'd have listened to Wimp Sanderson last season, who told me at the beginning of the tournament when Bama was a one seed, UConn was a four. He thought UConn was the best team in the tournament. Wish I'd listened to him. But I will next time. But they've stayed on top. So, yeah, and the 9:20 tip-off, man, I don't like that for Eastern time zone. I never really have. I'm not sure I quite even get it, because we play football on a Monday night, and that usually starts about 7:45 or 8. Mm-hmm. I think they even moved it back this year to 7, didn't they, guys?
They did.
Your time, yeah. 8 hours. Yeah.
Even the biggest sleep deprivation sporting event in the country, the World Series, starts around 8. I mean, so I don't get. I guess it's just, I mean, it's been this way since there was an NCAA tournament. So I don't know what the thought process is there, but 9:20 is a little bit late of a start, especially for on a Monday night for those that got to get up. Guarantee you. If South Carolina was in it, though, we would all had our coffee and been up watching, you know. But I don't know. You know, I think a really good college basketball season. I think on the women's side, obviously, I haven't spoken to it yet. Guys, I was at a wake on Sunday, and I left and let Nat – for those that don't know, I'll just tell you, Nat's ex-husband, the father of my two stepkids, passed away, unfortunately. And so – we've been dealing with that, and I left the wake to kind of let them say goodbye and hang with the family and stuff, and went to watch the game at the watering hole. So I got there's like 5 people there. I'm like, great, I'll be able to yell at the TV and do whatever. First of all, 2 of the 3 staff members there were wearing Iowa gear. Second, the whole old school golf crowd, the day drinkers, I call them, they all come rumbling in, you know, old Bob and Bob and Mark and Woody. Yeah, just got off the golf course, going to watch this Caitlin Clark play. And literally, I don't want to say afraid, but I kind of kept my mouth shut.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out, too, Big Ten fans, believe it or not, are a lot like SEC fans. They cheer for the Big Ten. I'd never noticed it before, but yeah, because a lot of people there were Ohio State or Illinois, or they're all pulling for Iowa and all pulling for Caitlin Clark. And it was loud. It was just as loud as a Bears game sometimes. Believe it, and then it emptied out afterward. And there were some people that were mad and talked a little smack about the South, and I just set them straight. But, you know, just to see that kind of energy with a bunch of old dudes from Chicago over a women's college basketball game like that. So we're at the apex of the sport. Okay. And then to have your team, your school at the top of that, this title, I think, hits a little different than the first two. I just the whole thing is just, I mean, not that they're all special, right? Anytime you win a national championship, this one though is like extra special, I guess. You know, it's extra special, but it just hits a little different because of the attention on the sport, because the audience and everybody's is women's basketball mania, and then your school is at the top and can't be. There's unquestionably the best team in the country. 38-0, double digit win in the championship game. Unbelievable, unreal. Just like UConn this year, and on the men's side, after replacing all those starters off last year's team, unreal.
Yeah, there's actually some similarities in both champions this year, because UConn, they won all 6 games by an average of 23.3 points per game, which was a total of 140 points, and that's 15 more than the 2009 Tar Heels. They outscored their 6 opponents by 125 back then. Of course, last year, UConn went on to win the title by 120 total points. So you're talking about back-to-back title runs for the Huskies, where they beat their 12 combined opponents in these 2 years by 260 points, which is wild. You know, and then you look at South Carolina and their run, and, of course, it's different in the women's game, but, you know, they beat Presbyterian by 52, and then they beat North Carolina by 47. You know, Indiana game was closer, 79-75, but then Oregon State by 12, and then NC State by 19, and then by 12. I mean, outside of a couple of moments in that Indiana game, and in a moment or two in the Oregon State game as well, pretty anticlimactic, right? I mean, when you open the season on the men's side, I would venture a guess that the large majority of college basketball fans on in men's college basketball, considered UConn to be the best program in the country. And then on the ladies' side, South Carolina, I believe, was ranked sixth in the preseason, if memory serves me correctly here. And then they blow the doors off of Notre Dame. And quickly it was like, yeah, they're not the sixth team in the country. And so within about a week, all of a sudden, here come the Gamecocks. And ever since then, there has not been any debate of who is the best men's team, who's the best women's team. There just hasn't been. And at the same time, JC, I think to even go a little bit further down that path, those that watch and, you know, cover college basketball in general, men and women, every single one of them that you ask, if they're being honest, if you ask, because this isn't always the case, but if you ask them who are the best programs in the sport, those are the two that are going to come up. Well, it's UConn and South Carolina. And it's not because they won national championships. Like, they also have a track record that is supporting that, right? Because sometimes we get a national champion that they're a national champion. They're the best team in the sport that year based on winning the national championship. But they weren't the best team all year. Maybe they got hot at the right time or whatever the case is. That is not the case. Like, you've got a dominant UConn program in men. You have a dominant South Carolina program in women. And it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah, I always talk about the difference between team, program, job. And programs, job is like history, hundreds of years, geography has a lot to do with it, resources, that kind of thing. It's way big picture. Team is what you do in a given season. Like South Carolina in 17 on the men's side was one of the best, ended up being one of the best four teams in left standing, right? Had nothing to do with the shape of the program, or which still needed to be built some, or the job. You know, I think program-wise, though, you look at what UConn's done and their ability to reload. That's a program. That's in the conversation for best program, because they're doing it year after year. You don't have to do it every year, but they're consistent. And you build that consistency. That's how you build a program, or as Will Muschamp used to say, program. I still say program sometimes too. But it's not just a one-hit wonder. That's how you get a program. And then job, it takes a lot to change a job. It takes a lot. But you eventually can go up the rungs in that department too, the better your program is through time. Like, your program, if it's good, you know, 10, 15 years straight, you know, you even maybe change a coach or two here and you're still really good, then that's a great job. So I'm with you there. And undisputedly, South Carolina's the best women's basketball program in the country right now. And I would say on UConn as well. I mean, because they've proven it back to back. I mean, there's the proof in the pudding. And I think you also, when you're talking about a program, you have to look ahead. And there's no reason why South Carolina's – they're already the favorite to win it next year. I think UConn could be on the mid-side as well. So, you're right. I totally agree with you there. And it's – and I don't know, you know, anticlimactic, yes. Up at the first half, though, Sunday, JB, that – Iowa got off to a hot start. When she hit that shot from half court, man, I mean, I know the Hawkeye Nation was in. Man Charles says he was at a bar in Flowery Branch, the only one pulling for Carolina. I mean, the Caitlin Clark mojo was there. And Iowa, I thought, played just about as well as they could the first quarter, being up seven. And I kind of, like most of you, felt like it's just a matter of time before Carolina's depth and talent takes over, and it did.
Well, that's exactly right.
So, yeah, like, second half to me.
I felt like Iowa was going to come out and play well. I mean, I would have been stunned if they didn't come out and play well. They had a ton of fans. They were feeling it. I mean, this is a big deal, man. And they came out and they threw a right hook. The problem was, and we all know this, Carolina, this is where the national analysts, like, they all, whether you like some of them or don't, they all said the same thing, and they're all right about it. If the Gamecocks are hitting shots, you can't beat them. They're too deep. They've got too many players. And they hit shots, JC. Like, they hit shots. So, I mean, Caitlin Clark scored her 30. great, but that what there was nothing that they were going to be able to do. And they couldn't sustain that for 40 minutes. Like they, you just can't do it. That's impossible. You've got three of your starters playing 40 full minutes. It's impossible to sustain it when you got nine players all playing like 20 to 29 minutes, like South Carolina does, and knocking down shots. And then the two stats that give all this away, you outscored their bench 37 to nothing. Like that's embarrassing in a national championship game. That's embarrassing. And Carolina out rebounded them 51 to 29. Yep. Number one, they got 51 rebounds. That's number one. 51, not 41, not 31, 51. 51 rebounds, and they out-rebounded him by 22, and Camilla Cardoso and Chloe Kitts combined almost out-rebounded the entire Hawkeyes team. Like, you can't win with numbers like that. So it wasn't – I thought Carolina would win. I thought they'd come back and win rather comfortably. But I also thought that Iowa would come out to a pretty good start. And I don't know, maybe I'm a genius.
Like last year, I thought Iowa did a really good job, not just with Caitlin Clark, but attacking the middle. They had a big girl last year that hurt Carolina. She's not there anymore, obviously, because their bigs were nothing like last season. This girl was big and a big old layup machine, and you know, she got freed for some easy ones because they had to go out and guard Clark or whatever. Iowa did not have that on the interior this time. They were very average, I thought, down low, you know, yeah, and so it was more, sure, this year's Iowa group was more the Caitlin Clark show. I think Caitlin Clark's actually better this year than he was last year, if you can fathom that. But, you know, I think Carolina is different too. They weren't as reliant on Aaliyah Boston and the post, and, you know, this team shoots it so much better than last year's team. And you got people like Full Wiley and Tessa Johnson as freshmen that have stepped up huge. And it was important for Cardoso to take advantage of them inside, and she did. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, Tessa Johnson alone. And look, Chloe Kitts, 11, double-double, you know. That's something that hasn't been happening with her, you know. And then Tessa Johnson just is getting to the point, like, you look back on her freshman year, like, that she's money. She's like a Roth Felder, you know, steps up like during the money time and makes plays. And then I think that's a good sign for the future there as well. So it was just not, you know, meant to be for the Hawkeyes this year, and was for South Carolina.
It's 11:40. It's April the 9th. Tonight, South Carolina looks to sweep the Clemson Tigers in softball. They are 28-12, 4-8 in the league. Clemson comes in at 27-11, 11-4. Carolina Stadium will be the site of this matchup, 7 o'clock, first pitch, and it's on ESPNU if you'd like to watch it. On, of course, you can also watch the Gamecocks in North Carolina tonight at 7, or do what I do, watch and listen to Derek and Stewart call it on the radio. So Gamecock softball, Gamecock baseball, both on the air at 7 o'clock tonight. Carolina, of course, went up there and beat them in 12, 6-4 back on March the 20th, and they're looking to take them down tonight. That was Carolina's first win in the series since 1979. Don't let anybody remember, Clemson discontinued their softball team.
I know they just recently started. Yeah, they've actually put some money into it. I know. Kind of some of the behind the scenes deal with that. And there's a couple of guys that really got behind funding the sport up there, and they should have a softball team. So
yeah
they should. Good for hopefully Carolina can. I mean,
go get them
now that there's no third baseball game, right?
Yeah.
Kind of convenient, right?
Yep.
I went over
that earlier. For anybody joining late, let me make sure everybody understands the reasoning for this. There's nobody to blame. I know that it means something. I get it. You've got all the midweek games that are already scheduled. You can't just cancel one. It's not how it works. You can't do that. So you have to look at each other's schedules. There's only one week that fit where both of them could play. but Clemson's university policy. It's not blaming them. It's not Clemson's fault. It's university policy, period, the end. That's exam week, and they do not schedule during exam week. And South Carolina doesn't like to schedule during exam week either. So they would, but they can't. Clemson can't do it. So John and I were talking about this not long ago. This is something we anticipated was coming, but they did everything they could to play it, and they can't play it. So it is what it is.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. And I understand why people are frustrated because you'd like another shot at them because
I hope that should
three
be
of the major sports this year you hadn't scratched against those guys. So kind of like last year, Clemson didn't beat Carolina. Clemson lost to Carolina. Did win one of the baseball games, but lost the series. Yeah, you can't blame Ray Tanner for this. If anything, it's a Clemson decision because of their policy. I don't know what Tanner was supposed to do. Make them play? Sue them?
I don't know.
You want to get your sue Clemson right now?
I got a laundry list of issues that I've got to blame Coach Tanner on. So I've been keeping track around here. We got a letter in the mail for our trash can showing in an HOA. That's certainly his fault.
Weather.
I've got a couple other things. Yeah, weather. That's on Coach Tanner. The train wreck that they call I-26. He should have been on top of the SC Department of Transportation years ago, guys. We're going to put that on Tanner's bill.
An owl came into my backyard and scooped up a bunny and decapitated it the other day. This is very sad. I'm blaming that on Coach Tanner.
Oh, yeah. I got a lot of stuff. I got a lot of stuff to address with Coach Tanner next time I see him. I got to figure out why I'm getting a letter about my –
Ray Tanner needs to contact the HOA on behalf of Jamie Bradford of the Bradford family. He's not doing his job. Yeah. Ray Tanner.
Way to go, Coach.
The owl population is out of control in Homer Glen, Illinois. Ray Tanner.
Oh, man. All right. We got to hit a timeout. It is 11:44. Before I do, some personal big business to take care of here in front of everybody. Hey, Craig, I got my neighbor is a guy that you're friends with. His name is Billy Taylor. He's a caddy out on Kiowa. Billy Taylor. So during the break, if you don't know Billy Taylor, stew on it, and then we'll talk when we get back. That's to Craig Godwin, not any of you other Craigs that I don't know, but I do know Craig. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia and go Gamecocks.
Coach O here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well. And they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, You're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.
It's 11:50. Where's 50 minutes gone? Welcome back inside the Gamecocks, the show built by the Barndo Co. and served by Chicken Cock Bourbon. Look, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings here. This isn't personal. And we all have different opinions. John Edward, I absolutely respect your opinion. You're a Duke fan. That's fine, man. I get it. It's kind of hard to argue with the team that's won four titles in the last, since 2010, when Duke, North Carolina, Kentucky, and Kansas have combined for five in that span as far as winning national championships. I Duke will always be a blue blood. North Carolina will always be a blue blood, but UConn is the standard in college basketball. I think we just need to kind of reprogram ourselves to make sure we mention them when we talk about all these things. I mean, it's crazy to not even want to admit that, in my opinion. With that said, we have a transfer, by the way. Jackson Hughes leaving the program. Offensive.
Yeah, line. Jackson probably needs to go someplace he can play. I think for football, everybody wants to play. He gave it the old college try. Didn't work out. He was one of the many injured. So, so that's that. So there you go. A lot of people, a good friend of mine and Phil Skip is a Duke basketball fan. Now, when Duke played South Carolina in the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago, obviously pulled for the Gamecocks. But that's a lot of people have Duke as their secondary school. Duke's an acquired taste. You either like them or you don't, and that's it. When I was a kid, I really liked Duke. Johnny Dawkins and Krzyzewski, that Final Four run they made, I was pulling for them,
Yeah.
As time went on, I think the Christian Leitner, Bobby Hurley teams lost me a little bit, and I thought they were just kind of like, yeah.
I don't have a problem with Duke. I mean, I'll be honest with you. Like, when Duke and North Carolina play, if I have got to pick one, I pick Duke. I don't care for North Carolina.
They both lose.
I'm a big fan of Mike Krzyzewski. Always been a big fan of Mike Krzyzewski. Of course, I'm a big fan of Roy Williams too. But when those two play, And you know, they have so much, I just have so much respect for the tradition that both of those programs have, but they alongside, let's see, the last time, so Kansas won the title in 22. I know that North Carolina last won it in 2017 when South Carolina was in the Final Four. I know Duke's last title was 2015. So, you know, since then, I mean, you could go, the year before UConn won it 2014. Kentucky had won it since 2012. Not that you're just judged solely on winning titles, because UConn doesn't have as many wins as any of those programs do. You got to encompass all of this here. But at the same time, the Connecticut Huskies have six national championships, which is tied for the third most ever with North Carolina, and they've won two since the Tar Heels last won in 2017. Kentucky's next at eight. They hadn't won one in 12 years, and UCLA hadn't won one in 30 years, 1995.
It's all since 98 with UConn, too. 98 was
Exactly.
Or 99. 98 or 99-1 was their first men's title. They beat Duke, actually, in St. Petersburg. I remember watching. 99 is actually what it was. So it's all in the last 25 years they've done this.
Right.
And titles in 25 years.
I mean, you can say – no, and you could say that you've won, you know, 400 games all time, and Kansas has won, you know, 2,000, or I don't know exactly how many they've won. Okay, well, that matters. All right, well, how many titles has Kansas won? Three. Well, how many titles has Connecticut won? Six. Well, isn't that kind of the point? You know, like you play to win the games, Phil. Yeah. So the end of the year, there's this thing called a title. If you don't win the title, I don't know. It kind of matters.
I think standard is a recent term, right? I mean, like right now, yeah. I mean, the Gamecocks are the standard in women's basketball, and UConn's the standard in men's. I don't think there's any. I don't think anybody should take that personally. Which I know, yeah.
If you want to talk history, though, none of them have much on Kansas. I mean. Do you guys know like the history of Kansas basketball? So guess who coached there? Dr. James Naismith, invented the game.
For sure. Yeah.
Right.
You know, Fog
Allen.
I'm
saying. Like, yeah. They all have, like, it's not one over the other. That's not what I'm saying.
Think
like,
about this. No, I don't know. Because Adolph Rupp played for who? Fog Allen at Kansas. Dean Smith played for Fog Allen at Kansas. So Kansas is responsible for birthing Kentucky and North Carolina.
Well, right. And that's true, but Kansas has four titles and UConn has six. Like that's got to equate.
Yeah,
right?
You're
that's
right. Equate. Yeah, you're right, dude.
I'm not saying like this isn't it's not like we're arguing. We're not.
No.
We're all arguing the same point. Like you know, we've entered the stage of the world where we entered it about 20 years ago where I'm right and you're wrong. Well, we're all right. All I'm saying is like you can't. Like UConn just won their sixth title. Like you can't look at it's the third most ever of all the teams. There's 330 teams in college basketball. They are the third most. So like you can't just say the Blue Bloods are Duke, Kansas, North Carolina, Kentucky. Well, no, UConn has six titles. They just won their sixth title. Like they're in it.
Yeah. So they've entered the conversation, right?
And like I said, it's all in the last 25 years. Since 99 was their first men's title. And if you think about, too, like the climb, like, you know, in the Big East guys, you had to go through Georgetown. You had to go through Syracuse with Jim Boeheim. You had to go through Pitt, which was a really good program. Providence had its moments. You know, that's – UConn was not – one before Calhoun was not one of the great Big East teams. They built it and they got there and they finally broke through in 99 and won it all, you know, and then they've won five since. So Villanova had won a title Villanova won a title in 85. St. John's has been a Final Fours. You know, we don't think about it because it's in the Northeast and nobody, you know, they don't really care about football up in that part of the country, college. And so we don't really understand, like, I think, and I've learned this from having Tim Brando on JC and Morgan, because he calls the games for Fox for the Big East tournament every year, just how crazy awesome Big East basketball is. You know, there are all these schools that are right close to each other. They all go to the Mecca of college basketball, Madison Square Garden, and play a tournament every year, and it's packed. and it's awesome. And UConn to work their way, it's just like it would be like a football program working its way up through the SEC. When you're 6th, 7th on the totem pole, and you pass Georgetown, you pass Syracuse, you pass Villanova and Raleigh Massimino, and you get there through that league where and mostly doing it with Northeast kids at the time in highly competitive recruiting situations. I mean, that's an accomplishment. So hats off to them. I think.
Well, I know we got to go, and I'll say this: Duke, in my mind, as like we could, and this is a controversial statement, and I know that it is, but Duke is as far as like at the top of the sport replaced UCLA. UCLA was the standard. Last time they won a title was 1995. Okay. You can always acknowledge UCLA and what they were able to do under John Wooden in the 70s. And I, just like we do here with Frank McGuire, I get that. Of course, they achieve way more because they won a title every freaking year, except for the one season that Texas Western got in there in 1966, I think it was. But then Duke emerged under Coach K, right? And they started winning titles. UCLA fell off. Indiana fell off. Those of the 1900s, UCLA and Indiana will always be there. And the totality of the sport, Indiana, UCLA, those programs were replaced by Duke. North Carolina kind of always been there. Even Kansas have always been there. Here they are. They still are. And now who is UConn replacing? Or are they just joining? They might not be replacing anybody. I don't think they are. I think they're just joining the crowd. They're just joining the crowd.
Yeah, they've been there a while, but you know they did hit the lull in after the 14 title, which was a kind of an amazing. I mean, they ended up pulling a Butler in the finals, for example. But look, that lull probably, you know, that's why we're just not talking about it. But had they not hit that and kept on winning, like say it was them instead of Villanova that won those Villanova titles, I think it'd be a totally different thing. So, yeah, yes, who they replaced. UCLA, yeah. I mean, although UCLA played for a national championship, UCLA was in the semis, the Final Fours recently is 2021, and that was a great game between them and Gonzaga. And they played for it one of the years Florida won it and all that.
Yeah, 06.
They're not very consistent. As consistent as – it's kind of like Southern Cal baseball and – yeah, Southern Cal baseball used to be the big dogs.
Yeah.
And now you rarely hear from them, you know. So
that's right.
That's the deal there. But yeah, so we'll see. I do think UCLA is a great program, and when the right coaches cycle through there, they get back, but it just hasn't been consistent.
The Duke kind of handed off the baton to the Blue Devils in the 90s. All right.
Indiana can't hire a coach to save their life.
Yeah, I mean, they're which is baffling. All right. It's 12 o'clock. We'll hand the baton off to Brad Muller. He called it the national championship. The Gamecocks winners again. We'll hear it and see it from his eyes when we return.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down to Mississippi, and got to New Orleans where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, in which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream.
and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Dough Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated. The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.